during the great tribulation period that's going to take place on this planet, some of you are going to be in that number, screaming, running to the mountain, saying, fall on me. And God has dispatched demonic forces to punish you and people like you during that terrible period. And the Bible tells me that after that period, they still won't repent. Hearts will still be hardened. That's all right. So, see, your hearts are hardened today because everything is going right. The warm blood is traveling through your veins. You can watch a video movie and everything is fantasy. I'm looking out the window of the Lucy Coleman studio right now. What a beautiful day in Southern California. 9:21 in the morning here. It is just a gorgeous day, not a cloud in the sky. As a matter of fact, no chemtrails are being spewed all over the city. It is just absolutely gorgeous. It is the kind of day that Southern California was made for. I praise God for this wonderful day. But I praise him because he allowed his son Jesus Christ to create the worlds by the word of his power. My friend, there's no other name. Jesus Christ is that cornerstone. He is the one that God has chosen. This is what we believe as Christians. Peter wrote about this, and Peter said, coming to him is a living stone, rejected indeed by men. Now, you remember I told you that it was 8:20-something. Well, I mean 9:20-something. Well, it's 9:43 right now since that phone call, and there it happened again. I received another phone call from another young lady that was associated with Noel Jones and all of that kind of foolishness. And you would not believe what she just told me. I'm not going to repeat it because you wouldn't believe it. I ended up the conversation before her cell phone lost power. And said, the Bible says to come out from amongst them and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. She was speechless because she says, what do you do when you're being pursued and my friends are being pursued? And the young woman told me that she senses the spirit of what is going on, not only with him, but also with T.D. Jakes. And all I could tell her was get out. But I'm the bad person, right? And I had to tell the young lady about the threats that I received from that so-called church. Man, it's just ridiculous. It is just ridiculous that this mess is going on. Let me just break off and share something with you young women out there that has given your minds and your bodies, in some cases, to some of these people. This is the most devilish kind of thing that's. You must realize that this business of the mega church, and I'm not saying that all. See, I got to watch my words, because sometimes people take my words to mean what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that everything that is big is bad, but I got to share something with you. I've received phone calls like this all the time from women, and this woman is not even from the city. This woman says that she is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles away and still being stalked. And her friends. And she asked this pastor, because she's on my website, what I said, come out from amongst them. Stop going to their Bible studies. Stop being friendly with the people that are influencing you. Come out from amongst you. Just walk away. Change your telephone number. I told her, change your telephone number. I got her telephone number in my memory bank. I'm not going to call that woman back. Don't want to call her back. Give her godly counsel. Let me share something with you people. When the judgment comes from Mary's little baby, Jesus, And let me keep going back to my major claim here, that no laws of heredity are sufficient to account for his generation. By a creative act, God broke through the chain of human generation and brought into the world a supernatural being. And I ain't talking about Superman, I'm talking about Christ. The narrative of the virgin birth shouldn't stagger you, really. The abundance of historical evidence in its favor should lead the true Christian, the real believer, to accept this as a fact. All of the manuscripts and all the ancient versions contain a record of it. All the traditions of the early church recognize it. This was not a fantasy carried on from generation to generation like these news commentators on television would have you to believe. Stop listening to CNN and all those liars. Mention of it was made in the earliest of all creeds, the Apostles' Creed. If the doctrine of the virgin birth is rejected, it must be on purely subjective grounds. If one denies the possibility of the supernatural in the experience of one's human life, it is, of course, easy for him to deny this doctrine. In other words, since you deny that supernaturalness can happen, so you will deny, well, I don't believe it. You know, a lot of people say, well, I was taught that when I was a kid. My parents believed it, but I don't believe it. That's all right. Go ahead on. I ain't trying to force my will down your throat. I don't care whether you believe it. To the one who believes that Jesus was human, only it would seem comparatively easy to deny the supernatural birth on purely subjective grounds. In other words, some would say, well, I believe that he existed as a human being. I ain't denying that. But the preconception of thinkers to a great degree determine their views. In other words, it would seem that such a wonderful life as that lived by Christ, having as it did such a wonderful finish in the resurrection and the ascension, might indeed should have a wonderful and extraordinary entrance into the world. But the fact that the virgin birth is attested by the scriptures, by tradition, and by creeds, and that it is in perfect harmony with all the facts of that wonderful life should be sufficient attestation of this truth. I like that statement. It has been thought strange that if, as is claimed, the virgin birth is so essential to the right understanding of the Christian religion, that Mark, John, or Paul should say nothing about it. But does such silence really exist? John says the Word became flesh. While Paul speaks of God manifesting himself in the flesh. One L.F. Anderson puts it this way, says, this argument from silence is sufficiently met by the conclusions that Mark passes over 30 years of our Lord's life in silence, that John presupposes the narratives of Matthew and Luke, and Paul does not deal with the story of Jesus's life. Well, the facts were known at first only to Mary and Joseph. Their very nature involved residence until Jesus was demonstrated to be the Son of God with power of the resurrection from the dead. Meantime, the natural development of Jesus and his refusal to set up an earthly kingdom, and this is what blows a lot of people's minds. As a matter of fact, when I was a young Christian, when I first got saved, I was trying to figure out, well, how come he just didn't set up this kingdom, man, and bring the kingdom on earth like that? No. His refusal to set up an earthly kingdom have made the miraculous events of 30 years ago seemed to Mary like a wonderful dream. So only gradually and marvelous tale of the mother of our Lord found its way into the gospel tradition and the creeds of the church and the innermost hearts of Christians of all centuries. Now, as we continue our look at Jesus and his sufficiency in our lives, we have to realize that he grew up in wisdom and stature, just as other human beings did. He was also subject to ordinary laws of human development in his body and in his soul. We find that in Luke chapter 20, verses 40, 52, and 46. And the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom. And the grace of God was upon him, and Jesus increased in the wisdom and stature and in the favor with God and man. And they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Now, you may say, well, there's other smart boys that are like that and intuitive, and some of you may have known a few. But I think that we have to ask this question about Jesus. I mean, you know, just, I mean, if you really want to know something about this God-man, just to what extent his sinless nature influences growth, we may not be able to say. But it seems clear, however, as you read from the scriptures, that we are to attribute Jesus's growth and advancement to the training that he received in a godly home. And I believe that that's a very strong argument. Well, you may say, well, since he was God, would it matter? Yeah, I think so. To the instruction given at the synagogue and the temple from his own personal study of the scriptures in the Old Testament that he had at hand, from his fellowship and his communion with his father, God, as well as with his stepfather, Joseph, both the human and the divine element entered into his training and development, which were as real an experience of Jesus as with any other human being. My experience with family, tradition, and culture has made me who I am. I have never loved the people of my culture more than I love them today. It is a wonderful thing. Though I don't like a lot of things that I see in the culture, I still love the people of the culture. You know, it's like the phone call that I just received. Troublesome, to say the least. But I was at another place. I won't tell you where I was because you would disagree with me being in that place. But I was at a place and I was having a discussion with a young lady. And we were having a discussion about relationships, myself and another friend of mine. And there were four of us having a conversation. And I was talking about how relationships ought to be between men and women. And the woman kind of like gasped and she said, oh my God, yes, yes, yes. And I, myself and my friend, we asked, what's going on? And she said, I knew that it was something that I was missing. I did not know exactly what it was. And she said, and as you were speaking, the light came on. Now, while I was having this conversation, I told this woman that I was a cleric, that I was a pastor, and I was also a philosophy instructor. We were in a totally secular place. But I identify myself who I am while I'm in the secular place because I ain't getting nowhere with the church. You go to the church, you get nowhere. So God is telling me, man, you can go wherever you want to go. Go on in there. See your people. Love those folk. And as I was speaking, giving the biblical prescription to what a relationship is, she said, oh, now I see. And it was interesting because as I was sitting there, we were speaking with this woman and another gentleman just came up out of the blue and kissed this woman and she kissed him back. And so I asked a friend of mine, what was that? And so this friend was telling me, well, this is how these men mark off their territory. And so that other men, I said, what? See, because you have to understand the PJ hasn't been out there. And when the woman came back to where we were, we began to question her about that kiss that we saw. And she affirmed what my friend told me. And that's when we got into the discussion about relationships. But this woman said, oh, I see it. The light came on. Oh, and she almost began to weep because, and then she said, that is what we're all looking for. Where is it then? Where is it? and it was there that I shared with her, it has been decimated by the culture. It has been destroyed. It is why our children are destroyed. Our homes are destroyed. So Jesus came up in a good home. This woman knew in her heart while I was speaking with her about this exactly what I was talking about. Don't think that sinners, they aren't totally blind to godly things. Those godly things has to be brought to the surface. And I'm telling you, people, you've got to go where they are, because they aren't coming to the church. They will not come to a religious person. No. Jesus said, go out into the highways and to the byways and to compel them to come. That's what I'm doing. And like I said, I'm not going to tell you where I am, because I don't feel like listening to your criticisms, because that's all some of you want to do is criticize me. Well, I wouldn't go in there. I know you wouldn't go in there. You busy running into the church house. And it ain't, trust me, it ain't nothing in there but self-affirmation. I want to go where Jesus went. He went where the people were. and you know what? I'd like to take some of you holier than thou, some of you that listen, and not all of you, because I believe that most of you that love me and know me know that I'm just telling the truth. But some of you are holier than thou. Y'all got this religion thing has screwed your mind up completely. I went to a poetry read on Friday night and found out that the young man does poetry not too far from where I live in the Crenshaw area. And I went to see him in the city of Santa Monica on Friday night with a lady friend of mine. And we had a nice time at the poetry reading. I'm talking with him about that. And I mentioned the canto, you know, Mario to stay with me, because he writes that stuff. And I tell the canto all the time, man, you need to tone it down. You're using some pretty foul language here. And I asked one poet, I said, is there a way for this young man, the canto, to express himself without being so vulgar? And he says, yes. Give him my card and tell him to get in contact with me. And now check it out. Listen to me. Listen to PJ. Because you guys know when canto stayed with me how he was. Well, I was speaking with him this morning, and I told him that I met two of these poets and that they would like to see him. And I told him about his vulgarity. And he said, you know, I thought about what you told me, old man. That's what he calls me. He says, I thought about what you told me, and I changed it from that word to another word. He says, because it didn't make any sense to say that. I said, I said, you're writing some nice stuff, but you don't have to be vulgar with it. Now, my Christian influence is influencing him. You see what I'm talking about? But you're not going to influence anyone. Listen to me, Christians. I know you folk have never heard anything like this, because the church is just a bunch of selfish people, all inwardly focused. Well, if I don't have it my way, then it's not going to work. Well, your way is, I wouldn't even want to be there with you. Really, I wouldn't. I say, come on, let's go play golf or something, right? Let's go to the beach. But we don't have to go and sit there for 2 hours and see you stand up, sit down, stump your feet, turn around and give the preacher a chicken feet. No, come on. Going through the rigors of religion. And don't get me wrong, I know everybody got their own little way to do worship. I was coming in from worship yesterday, and I was going down the street, and I passed by about two or three Baptist churches. Man, it's 2:30. The church is still in session. 2:30 in the afternoon, and you started at 11 o'clock? And you still got them packed in there? What are you doing? And don't tell me about nobody giving the word of God. No. We're long-winded and Anselm. Wow. So Jesus kept on increasing. We're told that he grew and increased in wisdom and stature. He increased. In other words, he kept advancing. He grew. And the reflective form of the verb, would seem to indicate that his growth was